1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1 is where we begin our study today. I don't know when the last time you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 was, but let me encourage you. Read it. I have done more studying this week than I've done in a long time. You say, preacher, you're always supposed to study. Yes, and I do, but sometimes you have to dig. And really, really dig. This is a two-part message. This morning, we're going to cover the first three verses. Tonight, I would like to cover verse 4 through 16, but we'll see. Okay? But as you read, this is very, very in-depth. But it's also very, very rich when you discover really what Paul is trying to get across to the church at Corinth. So today, as I said, we're going to start in verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Paul says, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man. And the head of Christ is God." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, we do pray for your guidance as we look into your word today. Father, we pray to hear from you. Teach us your ways. Teach us the real meaning of this passage, that we may know you, that we may honor you by the lives that we live. Father, this service is your service. This word is your word. I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In just the first three verses, you may understand a little bit as to why I have done so much digging this week. But at the same time, you know, difficult passages I've always found to be very enlightening and enriching. The more I don't understand, it's kind of like a challenge to me. The more it makes me want to dig and know. And no man can understand the Word of God apart from the Spirit of God, the guide to all truth. But sometimes we have to try a little harder. And that's what we've had to do in these first 16 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul began this part in verse 1 when he says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." That actually goes with the ending of the last chapter, when he was challenging the church at Corinth that in dealing with others that they not be offensive, okay? And so our basic scriptures that go together are 2 through 16. And in verse 2, he says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." Paul opens with a praise. Says, guys, you've done well. You've kept the traditions which I passed down to you. And I want you to understand, they did not use that word traditions the way we use traditions today. When we think of tradition, we think of three or four songs, an offering, and a message. This is tradition, the way things go. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the doctrinal teachings, right, that he had passed down to them, teachings of Jesus Christ. And so they were very, very firm in holding to what Paul had taught. But here's the danger that arose in the church at Corinth. You see, where God is blessing and where God is working to build up, Satan is also working to tear down and destroy. And the church at Corinth was no exception. Satan was working to destroy God's natural order of the family and of the church. And that's what this whole thing's about. That's why in verse 3 he says, "But I want you to know." That word "know," it means to know very well, to to understand. I think the New American Standard says, I want you to understand. The idea is that you have what I'm about to tell you firmly entrenched into your heart. Paul shares three things, three truths that we must know of God's order. Truth number one, the head of every man is Christ. Truth number two, the head of woman is man. Truth number three, the head of Christ is God. These are three truths that you have to understand. And it's not just a command of this is the way it is. The idea is that you understand this concept. And so, with that in mind, we're going to start at the end. The third one that Paul mentioned, the head of Christ is God. All right? Now, I want you to think about this just a moment. When Paul uses the word head, he's not talking about superiority, but order. Where there is no organization and order, there is, of course, chaos and confusion. And God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is always a God of order. Right? Now, when it says Jesus or God is the head of Christ, you understand who Jesus is and was. Jesus was God, period. End of conversation. He is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is not of less importance or less value. He is God. Right? So that's what you have to grab onto. He is God. And some people have the concept that there was God and somewhere after that Jesus came into the picture. No. Jesus has always been just as God the Father has always been and God the Holy Spirit has always been. He's always been here, okay? He was there at creation. He's here now. The Bible describes Him as the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, always been and always will be. So, you know, Jesus is not some second class God in the Godhead. He's part of the Trinity, just as valuable as God the Father and God the Spirit. But look what it says. The head of Christ is who? God. Does this make sense? Well, probably not the way you think about being the head of something. You see, the key to this whole idea is submission. And when we talk about submission, submission means to place oneself under the authority of another. We're not talking about conquering someone. That's breaking them. That's not the idea here. Submission is a voluntary placing yourself under the authority of another. That's the idea, right? Jesus placed Himself voluntarily under the authority of God the Father. John 6:38 is a reference to that. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me." God the Father. Why? The question is, why would Jesus place Himself under the authority of God the Father? Why do that? He's God. I mean, have you ever thought to yourself, you know, you were abused or they don't know who I am or, you know, I'm more important than that? Well, you don't get any more important than Jesus, right? But He voluntarily submitted Himself to the authority of the Father. The question is, why? Why would you do that? And the answer is, because the relationship between Jesus and the Father is a love-based relationship. This isn't about some power struggle. This isn't about importance or big guy versus little guy. It's not. Jesus submitted Himself because of love. And it starts with the love of the Father. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given Him all things into His hand. You see, biblical submission is a response of love to the one who has demonstrated their love for you. That's the idea with submission. It's not the idea of conquering someone. The Father-Son relationship works with Jesus and God the Father because it's a love-based relationship. And before we can go any farther in this study, the thing you have to understand about submission is that it's a must, that it always must be based upon love or it will be tarnished. It won't work. Because if you just do it because you're supposed to, sooner or later, you're going to get tired of it. But when you're motivated by love, you see, love makes you do things you don't want to do. Love makes you go farther than you want to go. Love will carry you through things you thought you could never get through. Jesus, when it says that the head of Christ is God, Jesus has submitted Himself because of the love that the Father has for Him and the love that He has for the Father. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? All right. Because if you don't get that part, the rest of it is irrelevant. We can't go any farther until you understand that part. Right? The head of Christ is God. The head of every man is who? Christ. Let's do a little better participation this morning, okay? The head of every man is who? Christ. Wonderful. Now that's not just some religious statement. That is a Bible principle. And if you are a man, I'm talking to the male of the species, right? As a matter of fact, this word used for man is not just any man. It's the word that's used for husband. So we're talking about the man of the home, the husband of the wife. And that husband, if he's going to be the man that he's supposed to be, he's going to have to start with a devoted love for Jesus Christ. You will not fully submit to Jesus. Now listen to me. You will not completely or fully submit to Jesus until you fully or completely love Jesus. Have you ever thought, well, you know, I do that, but that's asking too much. I don't think Jesus wants me to do that because that's just too much. No, listen. Jesus went to Calvary for you, right? So anything He would ask is not too much. The difference between us acting upon what Jesus would lead us to do and not acting is love. How do you develop that love? I'm glad you ask. You understand this fact, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Okay? I want you to focus. Let's just stop for a minute. Let's give this message a rest. I don't guess we'll do that, but because I'm still preaching. But I want to encourage you to consider what Jesus has done for you. Okay? Just stop and think. I'm a child of God because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to pay my sin debt, which is something I could not do. And not only mine, but yours. And He did that because He loved us. And because He did that, this life is not all there is for me. I have an eternal home in the heavens that'll never fade away. Jesus is preparing a place for me. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to be afraid of what lies in the future because I know what lies in the future. Jesus is coming back and I, as His child, I'm going to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ. That's good news. You know, that is wonderful news. I have a future because of Jesus. I live day to day because of Jesus. I got out of bed this morning because Jesus gave me the health and ability to get out of bed. Now, you don't really appreciate that until there's a morning or two that you can't get out of bed. I look at all the blessings. Oh, my friends, I want you to know I consider this church to be a blessing of God to me. I love you. I love worshiping with you. I love pastoring you. I love serving the Lord with you. I look at my wife, a blessing of God. I'll tell you, you know, people talk about it's not easy to be a preacher. I've heard several make that comment through the years and talk about how challenging it is to be a preacher. Well, I'll tell you something else. It's challenging to be a preacher's wife because most of us are hard to live with. Not intentionally, but we just are, right? God gave me a wonderful woman. And the thing about it is He did that before I had enough sense to choose the right wife myself. He just gave me the right wife that would follow me through all the years of ministry. Jesus did that. Jesus gave me my children, and I love my children. And He gave me grandchildren. One of my favorite pastimes as a granddad is sitting in my chair with a grandchild in my lap. God gave me that. My friends, that's good stuff. And what I just want you to simply back up and realize today that you enjoy the blessings that you enjoy because Jesus provided. Every good gift comes from above. Right? And when you start realizing how blessed that we truly are, we come to realize how wonderful Jesus has been to us. Men, do you understand that? Second thing you got to do is you got to understand what head means. The idea when it says that Christ is the head of man, He's talking about the physical head. And He's using that as a metaphor, an example. And you have to ask yourself, what does the head do? Well, it's there to think and give direction to the rest of the body, right? Arms, legs, hands, feet, they move under direction of the head. Never does my head say, hand move, and my hand responds, okay, let me think about that. Never. Makes no sense, does it? The hand is not made to think. The head does the thinking and gives direction to the head, to the hand. If Jesus is our head, and yes, He is, the idea is that He's giving the direction, and we don't even need to think about it. We can just respond in immediacy. And the reason that the hands respond to the head is because of the connection. Right? Connected by nerves and all the other complicated things that I don't have a medical degree or a biology degree, I can't even begin to explain to you. I just know that it's marvelous how that if my mind directs, my body responds. That's what a man should be in the eyes or in his relationship with Jesus Christ. He directs, we respond. Now, here's the problem. The problem is when that connection is broken. Right? That problem is when the head gives direction and the hands won't respond. As most, if not all of you know, in February I had surgery, had a benign tumor on my spine, and they had to remove that. And the doctor, when after the surgery he came and he said, "Well, we really had to work that nerve over. That tumor was all entwined and we really had to pick." He said it was like picking gum out of a carpet. Right? Well, all that didn't make a lot of sense to me until I came out from under all the medicines and painkillers. And you know what? The front and side of my leg and foot were numb. And I would sit there and I would look at my foot and I would physically say, "Move." And you know what? Nothing. Nothing. And it was very sobering. The connection had been broken. And so I spent a few days on a walker, a few days on a cane, and all that. Went to therapy, and long story short, through therapy and all the other stuff, we got that taken care of. And man, I'm jumping fences today, more or less. But you know, when I was looking at this, I thought, that's the problem with most men. The connection is broken. The head gives the order and the foot doesn't respond. The man doesn't respond because there is no connection. I feel sorry for the unbeliever today because he's going through this world without a clue and he can't figure out why there's no meaning to his life, and it's because there's no Jesus in his life. Oh, listen, I love you. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're wasting your life. But the really sad thing is when the believer becomes disconnected from Jesus. You know, most guys and, well, people in general, they don't understand that it's about that relationship, that closeness. It's not just about walk down an aisle and make a profession of faith and then, you know, one of these days when you die, you go to heaven. It's about relationship. It's about walking with God. It's about hearing from God. It's about being so close and so connected that when Jesus gives you an order, you just automatically respond without even thinking. That has to be our goal. That's the picture that Paul is painting here. Too many believers today don't understand why their life's a mess. One bad decision after another. And they can't seem to figure out, why do these things always happen to me? Are you connected? Are you connected? Men, God has not placed you here to be the boss of your family. He's placed you here to be the head of your family. The only way you can be the head is to have a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, period. That's it. And that's why you're here. That's why we're all here, men. You see, it starts with us. Then finally for today, the third thing that he said was the head of a woman is the man. This is an immediate offense in today's culture. But I want you to understand this is not about superiority, because I think probably most, if not all, the men would agree with me today. If there's any superiority, it's the wife. It's about organizational order that God has set. You see, we seem to accept it everywhere except the family. For example, at work, there are supervisors. And that does not mean that the supervisor is better than you, or smarter than you, or even more important than you. It just simply is an order. Because there must be an order in everything. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That order must exist in the home. You've got Christ, you've got man, and you've got the wife. Guys, I want to tell you something. If we're not what we're supposed to be, the wife's probably not what she's going to supposed to be. Okay? But wives, I want you to understand this. God is not naming you as some second-class citizen. He is simply giving order to the family. And there are three reasons I want to share with you today that the wife should be submissive. Number one, are you ready? Scripture. The Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Right? We want to do what the Bible says. Amen? Amen. Second reason, ladies, is love. Now this is not just to ladies, because it's going to come back on ladies and their husbands, the wives and their husbands. But ladies, you should be submissive to your husbands because of the love that he has for you. Husbands, did you get that? I want you to consider Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know what the wonderful thing about that passage of Scripture is? Is the word demonstrates. Now, if you're an English person, this makes sense to you. But that word demonstrates is in the present tense, meaning wherever you find yourself, God is demonstrating His love toward mankind. Now let's take that and let's apply that to the man. Ladies, there should never be a doubt in your heart or a time in which you do not feel love, because we as men should continually demonstrate, present tense, our love for our wives. See, too often, and you know the old joke that I told my wife that I loved her when we married her. If I change my mind, I'll tell her. That's no good. And I say this, and I'm sorry to say there are days go by that I do not show my love as I should for my wife. But if this is going to work, if God's order works, it's got to be a love-based order. And I don't want to wait for my wife to show her love to me before I show her love, or show my love to her. I'm supposed to be the head, the leader. I take the lead. Does that mean you're supposed to go to the jewelry store next week, guys? I don't know, maybe. But you've got to demonstrate it continually. She's got to know. And when she knows, man, she won't have a problem with submitting to you. I really believe that. See, we're told in Ephesians chapter 5 to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Man, that's a tall order. But it's not given as an option. It's given as a command that will make your marriage work. Just as God and Jesus' relationship is a love-based relationship, that husband and wife relationship will only prosper when it is a love-based relationship. Third reason, your reflection. Your relationship, ladies, with your husband should be a reflection of Jesus' relationship with Father. this is where it really gets cool. This is where it really gets cool. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are what? One. Does that sound familiar? Oh, wait, in the book of Genesis. In the book of Matthew, chapter 19 and verse 5, you know what it said? Jesus said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. My oneness with my wife is a reflection to the God, the Savior that I serve. Can you imagine Jesus and God ever being in heaven and arguing and yelling at one another? I don't see it. They're one. There is a unity. You see, I think that's where we lose it in most marriages today. You see, we forget that it's not about me. And we get selfish and we start saying, what about me? I deserve to be happy. It's not about you. It's about the one you love. And we're commanded in Scripture that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, with our everything. And if we love God with our everything, guess what? We're going to honor what God says. I want you to understand here, God didn't give us this just to give us a bunch of commands. He's given His Word as direction of ways that will work, that will make this life work. You know what's happened to our society? And we can complain about the immorality, the ungodliness, the homosexuality, the gender wars, and all the other stuff. But what has happened to our culture is the destruction of the family. Homes don't have fathers anymore. Some homes have fathers and no mothers. And we've decided there's a better way than God's way. Look where we are. Look what it's done. You know, I back up and I say this respectfully. God knew what He was talking about. And that's the lesson of the day. God set it up not to harm your life, but to make your life a life worth living. And if you're not doing it according to God, then you're not doing it right. So, it's invitation time. Time for you to do business with God. If you're not that lady that lovingly submits to her husband, maybe it's time for a new direction. If you're not that husband that doesn't give your wife a choice, but that she loves you because you love her so much and show her that so much that she doesn't have a choice, then maybe it's time for a new direction for you. Men, if you're not completely sold out to Jesus, it is definitely time for a new direction for you. It's not going to work until you put things in order. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me share with you, He loves you so much. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. God gave His Son, Jesus, to pay for your sin because you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guess what? That's you and that's me. That's all of us. We got to deal with that sin. The only way to deal with that sin is to bring it to Jesus, who died as the sacrifice to pay your sin debt. And today you can be saved, you can be delivered and forgiven. just by calling on the name of Jesus and accepting Him as the Lord of your life, making Him your King. Will you do that today? Heavenly Father, as we come to this invitation, we want to praise You. We want to thank You for Your Word that, oh my goodness, it is so rich. And Father, we pray for forgiveness, first of all, because sometimes we get in our mind, we know better. And we don't. But the Lord, Your Word is always right. And You are all-knowing, all-powerful. Father, we just pray that in this invitation, Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.